Welcome to Studio 1776. I'm your host, Daniel Leach. I'm joined here this morning by Rex and Lotus Justice. Welcome to the program, Lex. Rex.
Hey, how's it going? How's your Sunday?
Well, I can't complain. I'm moving around. I'm actually going to be picking up a box truck here from Walmart. I'm having some tires put on it. And so then,
moving forward, getting some work done. Well, you know, I just wanted to touch base with you today because we've had a couple things happen. We've got a 60B filed in the feds. Of course, I have a case against the sheriff's department here for basically starving me and failing to provide a Christian-based diet. So they do comply or actually are conciliatory to Muslims and Jews by serving no pork products. And also seek to observe the now out of date fish on Friday Catholic practices. But if you are a Christian, apparently, and they don't even believe they've averred that there's no such thing as a Christian based diet, which is basically the diet that you would be on Lent, which is called the Oath of Abstinence. You don't eat anything other than fish, and so we've got that going on. Those are some interesting cases that should, especially the 60B. We've got some, the Supreme Court denied both of the mandamuses, I think mostly because they're out of their jurisdiction with what's happening in the case, being denied access to the docket. We've now have two pieces of evidence proving that a subpoena that I delivered to the clerk in the lower court, Common Pleas Court of Franklin County, case number 3470, 20CR03470 case, was kind of seized somehow from the clerk and has ended up in the hands of someone in the prosecuting attorney's office who is not the counsel of record on the case. And the interesting thing is, and this was for five months, this subpoena has been floating around and just shows up in the prosecuting attorney's office. And the annotation is I have to reserve them. But the interesting thing is what that subpoena was requesting 5 months ago is the production of the transcripts of proceedings of the grand jury, which are covered under Rule 6, not rules of discovery in their administrative rules. So someone basically seized a subpoena, kept it off the docket, floated it around for 5 months, and just now produced it. So we need to find out who had that, who handed it to her. But evidence is being produced showing constructive fraud, obstruction of justice, tampering with evidence, things like that. There's actually some sealed evidence on the docket that has been put on the docket through the appellate court case. How it got there would also be a tampering with evidence because it was left. It was presented in the court hearing on March 24th and 28th, and yet was introduced in the appellate case stamped March 25th. So the bailiff or the judge or the prosecuting attorney moved it from one court and entered it to another, and they've sealed it on the lower court case. Why, I do not know. So they are evidence in the 3470 case that are currently sealed from the public view because the manner of them tampering with them and bringing them in through an appellate case, which was filed, I don't know, two months later, or less than 30 days later. But so they basically introduced lower court evidence through the appellate case and then sealed it. So there's definitely tampering with evidence, tampering with the docket. Obstruction of justice. I cannot access the docket in the lower court case. So now we're to the point where there's not really a possibility for me to even achieve due process with this lower court. And so we're dealing with that in the Supreme Court cases that dealt with the tampering of the docket and the suppression of my pleadings from the docket, now totaling 10. There are now 10 pleadings missing from the docket, that they denied both the cases, but I did win that I am not a vexatious litigator. Which is the whole foundations for the lower court saying that these documents need to be obstructed from the docket. So we won that. So now we'll end up moving that to the feds for basic denial of due process and crime. So we can prove that there is conspiratorial criminal activity in the lower court case in the manipulation of exhibits, of subpoenas, and of pleadings in the trial court. So that's where we're at in the lower court case. And so, you know, to the feds we go. We're already there in a variety of ways. But and I'm basically, I still have one appeal pending, which is concerning the suspension of the bond and holding me in indefinite detention. That's the only state case that I have right now in, of the appellate fashion, stemming from the criminal case in the common pleas court. So everything else is in the feds. So I basically am indefinitely detained, unable to access the docket, unable to exercise due process of law, having subpoenas suppressed, unable to affect a means of defense, being constructively obstructed from affecting a means of defense by this lower court court administrator and the, potentially the clerk and various people operating in the prosecuting attorney's office. So that's it's because they have no case, and so that's where we're at there. So I'm just basically stuck in here indefinitely until some court does its job, you know. I have a pending habeas that's been sitting for 3 months that should have in the fed courts that should have been issued. They are sitting on that because they have a problematic situation where they've kept someone incarcerated for 22 months without a warrant for entry and without a true indictment. And it creates a great liability for the state, and it's a criminal activity on state agents, a variety of state agents, and someone just needs to do their job. And that kind of, you know, lends us into what I wanted to kind of talk about. And I don't know if anybody's been keeping up, but some of the background noise is that the military is trying to correct actions in this country. They're doing it at a very slow pace, which is unfortunate and also borders on incompetent and in violation of their oath and duty. But I understand that it's, it potentially could be because they're waiting for orders, and they don't really have to wait for orders when it comes to who I am and why they have me in here, because I hold the instruments of allodial trust. I hold the spoil of Pima. I have laid claim to the instruments of the United States of America in Les Pendens that have laid laid on the record for almost 4 years now, be 4 years in August, in cases where we have achieved default judgments from the IRS and cachet default judgments issued in cachet receipts. We have the Federal Court of Appeals accepting our record of facts. I have a negative one FICO score. I have, liens upon four suspects proving fraud. So they're waiting for kind of de facto or borderline illegitimate agencies of state to give them orders whenever the law mandates them to do certain things. They just need to be presented with the proper authority to do that. So I'm working on getting that information to the proper authorities in the military so that they can act without waiting for the illegitimate government of the United States corporate charter, which is completely defunct and is operating on an illegitimate crashed treasury that should have been collapsed years ago, trying to get them the paperwork and the proper documentation that they need to authorize them in the law to go in mass instead of cherry-picking these traitors and these devil worshipers that have infiltrated all levels of government, and to give them the authority to act in a broad sweeping brush to vacate, to arrest people instead of what they're doing now, because what they're doing now is just waiting for these JAG and everything to do their job. And again, if you're familiar with the Titus Nobility Amendment, the JAG is not really the supervisor or not really the authority in what's going on here. Yes, treason and sedition are within the military jurisdiction, but the de jure republic common law grand juries should be hearing these cases and referring people for treason and sedition if they're of the civil authority, if they are of the military or federal or state insurgent agencies of state as an oath officer with a fiduciary duty, they fall under military. But the republic law is what governs what they should be doing. So we're trying to get those documents to the proper military jurisdiction, because the Securities and Exchange commissioned Form D, which is how they have converted all of our birth certificates to securities, is under the jurisdiction of the military according to the CFRs, Codes of Federal Regulation. So they have the authority with some of the letters of rogatory and some of the claims that I have brought to the federal jurisdiction and also to the appropriate agencies of state, both the Treasury and the Joint Chiefs. They have the authority to basically collapse the corporate charter of the United States and restore the republic. They just, I think, are vacillating, not wanting to do it, and making it look like a military coup versus a military action authorized under Article 4, Section 4, because your judiciary is vacant, folks. It's been vacant. The trusteeship, no, that doesn't mean that the seats of state or the structure of the government is illegitimate. It means that the people occupying them, a lot of them have to be removed and be replaced with the appropriate oaths under the appropriate jurat, under the appropriate de jure jurisdiction. So we're not looking at a protracted collapse of a government that doesn't come back. We're looking at taking people out of seats of state that are traitors, criminals operating for foreign governments and agencies are not supposed to be there because of a stolen election, all these things, and or who hold titles of nobility and are under the wrong oath, must be re-oathed, and take them out of those seats and then put the appropriate people back in, because again, the structure of the government is not the issue, it's the agents within them. So we're working on that, but we do need to get that moving pretty quickly, because you know, we now have what's going to be a two-border war. We currently have, Trudeau just recently, I think last week, said that, quote, it will no longer be possible to buy, sell, transfer, or import handguns anywhere in Canada. So he has disarmed Canadians. And at the same time, as I watched on the news, he legalized fentanyl and methamphetamines, or they did. So now, you know, we're worried about the drug war coming across the southern border and all of the drugs coming through that are being provided by China, paying these cartels to pump it into our country. But now we are going to have the entire northern Canadian border, okay, that's probably going to be shipping fentanyl from Canada and methamphetamines across that border to affect biochemical warfare. That's not even counting the issues we're going to have with the COVID immunizations that are now proving to be the cause of death for babies and people, and they're hiding those facts and those statistics. So you know, we need to get the military in its proper place and jurisdiction, so that it can secure the border of this country, provide a stabilizing security force, while the as basically organizers of militias, truly, by the law, in order to allow the grand juries for people to be arrested and removed from office and in mass, one large movement here, to allow these grand juries that we have quite a few of them within a variety of states. I think we have 30 states that have organized grand juries waiting for causes of action to be brought to them in courts of record. So things are in place. Someone just needs to, on the side of the oath-dutied officers and agents of the state, they need to comply with the republic law, and they need to start doing their job and just flip the switch. And it really won't be as protracted as people think. My fear is if they wait too much longer, we're going to have open war with China when our borders are not secure, and we will have insurgents popping up that have infiltrated our borders through the open southern border and are going to pop out as cells and just have guns that they can acquire here, and then we'll have guerrilla warfare within our states. So that's my concern. It's a great possibility. There's a lot of rumor that China is in a war mode and is planning to attack our West Coast with small grade nuclear weapons and our electronic EMF field weapons, you know, where they shut down the grid. And so we need to to kibosh this before we get into a situation where we're behind the eight ball and then we end up having to clean out our government in the process of having a war up on our own land. So we need to do this before that happens so we can secure our borders and the people and secure our transportation, secure our resources, open up the capacity to effect protection for the people. So, and the people will be a significant factor in that. Again, the military is not there to effect the means of protection. The military is there to act as a liaison for the state militias. And we have the largest freestanding disorganized army in the American people with their First Amendment rights ever assembled, capable of being assembled. I'm not worried about protecting our country once the military does its Federalist job and acts under the authority of Article 4, Section 4, and or even the War Powers Act until we can get a legitimate de jure United States of America president in that seat. So, which, you know, technically speaking, if there is proof positive that we had an illegitimate or a stolen election, that would put Trump in that position by prima facie fact. So, because he could actually occupy, he could occupy the instrument of the United States of America president and the United States president. He could occupy both in dual capacity. So, again, very promising. We just need to get certain key instruments of state to do their job. And I think that if we can get these documents and these instruments of negotiable instruments that I hold, that I am the allodial holder of, that I have the rights in law under the de jure spoila opima and the Republic Repository Trust and the Law of Equity, if we can get these instruments to the proper authorities where they feel secure to operate in law to do their job without waiting for all these de facto and illegitimate agencies to kind of work their slow way through things, I think we might have a chance here in the near future. So everyone, let's pray for that. And
you have 1 minute remaining.
Really didn't have much to say other than that, but I just wanted everyone to know, you know, I have the authority to do these things, and I'm working on it. They have me hidden here in jail to keep me from exercising these powers that I had before they even came at me. And we're working on it. I've got a small crew, but everyone pray, and people should really be pushing the military. The correction, of course, in the federal securities fraud, the birth certificate fraud, is under the jurisdiction of the military. I have proven it to be a baby trafficking, human trafficking scheme, just in the way it's being extorted, not in its structure, but the way it's being extorted by criminals. So all we need to do is remove people. We are not talking about a destabilization of the government itself. The structure of the government and the laws are not the problem here, folks. So we are not talking about a military coup. We're talking about the military imposing a short period of martial law till the militias can get into position and the republic restored in very short order. So that's the plan. Let's hope that...
Thank you for using GTL.